This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we got answers on some things yesterday, as we welcome you back into the 7 o'clock hour here. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Nice to be with you on a Tuesday morning. The Texans had their annual charity golf tournament yesterday over at River Oaks Country Club. D'Amico Ryans met with the media. The McNairs met with the media. Mike Tolman, the new president of the team, met with the media. The McNairs and Mike Tolman particularly we're talking about stadium issues, a possible new headquarters for the team that'll land somewhere. If they indeed decide to move their headquarters and practice facility, will land somewhere in the greater Houston area. We'll get to that in just a minute. D'Amico Ryans did meet with the media as well and was asked about Arriante Ursary, their second-round pick. This is an offensive line where you got a lot of guys that are forecasted to possibly play multiple positions. Centers playing guards, guards playing centers, tackles playing guards. Those are all in play. Is that in play for rookie Arriante Ursary, D'Amico?
Adding Ursary to our team through the draft, really liked his tape and called him that tackle. He played that tackle, so we'll start him out at tackle and see how he does there. But my vision for him is always he can help us at tackle.
Okay, so tackle. He is going to be, yeah. we can at least for the time being, Seth, put any talk about Arriante Ursary at right or left guard off the grid for now.
Yeah, and I know there's, it's my feel on it is that he just doesn't strike me as a guard. He's 6 foot six, not extraordinarily tall, but he's a 6 foot six and he doesn't play with great knee bend. It's hard for guys like that to go down and play in that phone booth sometimes. So I like him as a tackle and I hope he gets to just stay there and doesn't get pressed into emergency duty or what have you. There's a problem in this country, in America today, and people are way too eager to call an offensive lineman versatile.
That is
the greatest problem we face as Americans today.
It's true.
And it's not as simple as just moving a guy and saying, oh, look, he did it.
Yeah.
He moved there. That's like if you put me in a nuclear physicist chair,
yeah,
and say, like, oh, look, Seth's sitting in a nuclear physicist chair. Everything's cool now. No, there's going to be a meltdown. I'm gonna create huge issues. They're like, yes, but you have a name tag that says nuclear physicist. So you can't just slap a tackle at guard and say he's versatile.
Yes.
You got to actually be good at various other things. Let the rookie learn how to play tackle, damn it.
And I would say nuclear Armageddon and C.J. Stroud getting repeatedly hit because of pressure coming from the inside.
Yes.
Very equal. They're
just
the same exact
thing.
Just as
equally dire, yes, and crucial as any other actual problem in America.
That analogy holds up perfectly. Absolutely. So I guess, Seth, if we're looking at training camp here, we're not that far off. I mean, the rookie mini camp is Friday, which means OTAs is right after that, which means training camp is going to, you know, we're under 3 months away from training camp. I think Cam Robinson's going to be the left tackle for this team. I feel pretty confident in that. It's Titus Howard. If I had to pick which way the possession arrow is pointing right now, I would say guard. I don't feel super confident in that, but let's just say for purposes of this conversation, he's the left guard. So the left side of your line is kind of nailed down. Does Ursary and Blake Fisher become one of the most intriguing position battles in camp, if those indeed are the two that are duking it out at right tackle?
Yeah. I think that if one of those guys emerges, then there's a chance that Titus Howard will be the guard and you'll have a little bit of clarity.
You just used,
I guess
you use 2 second round picks on tackles. I almost feel like, man, one of them better emerge.
Right.
Like, you know, in camp. Like, right. One of them better emerge, or you're trending towards a couple of second round picks being burned
gotta,
on at best a swing tackle.
You right. Know? You got to hit on one of those guys
at
some point.
Yeah.
And Blake Fisher's a huge X factor in a lot of this. I think that now, but they could easily end up just having Titus play right tackle, and you've got guys that are at the very least starters right there slotted in as a starter at guard. It gets a little interesting just because Tomlinson has only ever played left guard, so do you move him, you know, does he compete for both left and right guard, or does Titus actually get a shot at right guard? I don't know. I think it's a wide open competition at every spot. I do feel genuinely like Titus isn't guaranteed a starting position. I think that there's going to be a battle in training camp. He'll have the leg up, obviously, but if somebody really impresses them, I think every guy in that room is going to have a genuine opportunity to get a look as a starter if he plays that well during training.
I don't think
camp.
Cam Robinson's guaranteed the starting left tackle position either. Like those are the two. Cam Robinson and Titus Howard are the two closest to putting in ink at least playing and starting. I don't know what position for Titus.
It was the weirdest thing last year is that through training camp, it became very obvious that, all right, this offensive line is not a finished product. The starters as a group barely played together at all in preseason games, and yet there was this feeling that, nope, these are your starters along the offensive line, and I felt really bad about it, and it never got any better. They didn't play their way into it. I guess it got a little bit better in some regards towards the end of the season, but that's the battle to watch this training camp.
Yep. D'Amico Ryans was asked, I thought this was an interesting question because I've wondered this myself. You went out and traded for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Kalen Bullock made a big step up as a rookie last year. Jalen Petrie is not a safety he's a safety by name on the roster, but he doesn't function as a safety as much. But you've got a lot of bodies at safety, and Jimmy Ward is still here. They extended him for a third year during the season last year, so he's back. And it's fair to wonder, especially with them having made the Gardner-Johnson trade, what's Jimmy Ward's role with the team?
Jimmy's doing fine. Jimmy's on the road to recovery as well. He's doing fine. He's out of his boot now. He's starting to get back into running a little bit. So he's in a good spot. And Jimmy is a great football player. I love Jimmy. I love how he plays the game. And, again, same whenever Jimmy is ready. I know Jimmy can help our football team win games. We saw him make game-changing plays for us, big-time plays and big moments. And whenever he's out there, he'll do it. He's a football player. So what I love about him, he's played multiple spots in the defense. So I'm excited to see just whenever he's ready, it doesn't hurt to have a lot of good safeties on your team.
When he said he was out of his boot, that was one of those, I guess, reporting a positive thing, but because of the timing of it and the fact that we're in May, I kind of thought, oh, I thought he would have been out of his boot a while before that.
Yeah,
all right. Just how extensive was this surgery?
Yeah.
So I think Jimmy Ward's going to be a guy we probably don't see much of during training camp because they're going to be very careful with him, but he's always going to be there at the ready. He's like a better version of Joe Flacco in Cleveland. Joe Flacco during training camp is probably just going to be advising people on the sidelines, but you know that, all right, now that Flacco is going to be a break glass in case of emergency type of situation in Cleveland. Jimmy Ward they're going to use, but it'll be – I think they can mix and match him wherever they need to in any given week. They can – depending on the injury situation or what have you, he can be a free safety. He can come up and he can play that nickel backer if he has to because of injuries. So hopefully that works out for him because he's well into his 30s now and he's been injured pretty much every year for the past several years.
I think getting C.J. Gardner-Johnson sets Jimmy Ward up to be in a perfect role at this, yes, to your point, Seth, this stage of his career. He playing a full workload, he can't stay on the field.
Yeah.
He's had so many different injuries, and not all of them have been, you know, just bad luck. Like the one he had last year, like he broke the foot. I think it was a broken foot he got. Like he just landed on it wrong, whatever. But his first year with the team, it was a quad, it was a hamstring, it was older guy injuries, you know? And so I think this is perfect. If you got Kalen Bullock and C.J. Gardner-Johnson as your two starting safeties, and Jimmy Ward is there, A, as depth in case one of them goes out with an injury, or more likely, week to week, it would be in, you know, sort of a nickel or dime role. Like, he can place, you know, he can play up there in the slot. He can cover guys out of the slot. He's played slot corner before. So I think he could be, and then you add the leadership element into it, which that room is just is boiling over with, that secondary room right now. I think he's got a role with the team.
Right. Well, and just to illustrate it, he's going to be 34 years old this year. In his career, he's played 11 seasons. He's only had two seasons where he played all 16 games.
Yeah.
You know, before they changed the schedule. But then in the last 2 years, he's played 10 games in each of those years.
Yeah.
In 2022, his last year in San Francisco, he played 12 games, and now he's 34 years old. So it's, yeah, if you were to go into the season expecting him to be a full-time starter or something, you'd really be in deep water. So as a role player, yeah, hopefully he'll come up big in some big moments.
We got a Tank Dell update, and we don't have audio of it because all the clips that were out there on the internet from the media sessions yesterday, there was not good. The quality of the audio on the Tank answers wasn't great. That said, it wasn't a lot of new stuff. It's the Tank Dell news cycle is a strange one right now. It almost feels like we here in Houston feel like, yeah, he's not going to play next year. Or if he does, it's going to be at the very end of the year. And yet, anytime somebody says something about it with the Texans, it at least over the last couple of weeks, it does seem to get picked up as some sort of news.
An update. The update is, DeMeco has said this at least twice and maybe three times now. He's in good spirits.
Right.
He's in good spirits. And DeMeco is very specific. This is how I would read into it, Sean. DeMeco has flat out said, we're not putting any timetable on this. And I think most of us feel like, boy, an injury like that for a wide receiver, it's 50-50 whether the guy even comes back to play football again. And when they do play football again, they're not the same version of themselves typically. That it's found money, and it would be an awesome and inspirational story if he came back and looked like himself this year. But you just got to kind of put that off on a shelf and maybe worry about it in December or January or something. And that would be somewhat of a, I don't want to say a miraculous comeback, but an unlikely comeback if he comes back in December.
Yeah, I don't think it's a complete accident or coincidence that, you know, Jalen Knoll is there at 79. Like, there's the best player on our board. Let's take it. Like, I think there's some connective tissue between drafting Jalen Knoll and whatever it is Tank Dell's situation
now. Nick has said that they do look at what a guy's role on the team will be.
Yes.
And that's where I think you finagle your way around the drafting for need part by saying, okay, we're going to draft a guy, but we want the best player available who's actually going to contribute to the team this year. You traded for Christian Kirk in the offseason.
Yes.
You draft a slot receiver in the draft. Yep. Like, those are roles that if they expect the Tank Dell to play this year, I don't think ideally that they're going to be spending all these assets on having three slot receivers.
Smaller
on your team.
Receivers, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I agree with that.
The other thing, too, remember, DeMeco last year, and I don't think he was lying, but he felt like during training camp, he said Christian Harris will be just fine. And, he'll be ready to go.
You didn't hear him say, in week 15.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, so he didn't couch that much at all.
No.
And I think with Tank, it's DeMeco specifically saying, we're not putting a timetable on
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, so, and by the way, mentioning Nick Caserio, he will join us tomorrow on the show. Almost a little over 24 hours from now, 7:30 tomorrow morning, Texans Executive Vice President and General Manager Nick Caserio joining us in advance of rookie minicamp coming up this weekend. And the first time we've had a chance to chat with him since the draft a couple of weeks ago. So we'll
first time he's had a chance to chat with us.
Thank
Sean.
You. Yeah, that's true. I got to put
phrasing.
Us over, not him.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see, I know you did, Tank's tattoo that he got, his sleeve that he got on his leg?
Yeah. I feel like
a heel turn's coming pretty soon with
Tank. I was freaked out by two things.
Yeah.
One was the tattoo itself, which is like a montage of horror movie characters.
Yeah, he's got Chucky on there from the Child's Play franchise.
Yeah.
And he's got a tribute to Michael Myers as well, among others, it looks like.
But the other thing was that he did the old Dak Prescott where they actually anesthetized him while they were doing this sleeve.
I would want to be too. This is a lot of ink, man.
I don't like this trend. Listen, man, anytime you go under general anesthesia, you're taking a risk. I feel like anything that you go through that you feel Anytime you go through a voluntary procedure where you're being anesthetized for it, I would just say, hey, maybe take your time, be patient, do it over the course of, just be conscious and do this over the course of a bunch of different sessions.
But maybe this injury that he suffered in that Kansas City game, that gruesome leg injury, has created a new tank, you know, a new devil may care, borderline heel turn, mad at the world, Tank Dell, you know, it just, or maybe he's like, you know, it's like when Tony Soprano got shot, you know, afterwards and he survives. He's like, you know what? Every day is a gift. And I know Tank wasn't going to die from this knee injury, but maybe he's got that outlook. Like, you know what? I got to suck the marrow out of the bone of life here. You know, I've always wanted a leg sleeve with Michael Myers and Chucky and various other horror characters on my leg. Damn it, I'm going to go do it. I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. I could suffer a gruesome head injury. I have no idea.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
YOLO. You only get ink like this once in your life,
that's it,
apparently.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott did this a couple years ago, and I remember I didn't realize that this was – it's not common, but it's not unheard of to get anesthetized to get a sleeve put on. And the tattoo community came at me hard, so I got an education in it.
So the same thing, presumably, that he did when he got his multiple knee surgeries, he did to get a tattoo, which is get put under.
I guess that's part of it too. Is like, man, Tank Dell's little body has been put through a lot of hell over the last couple of years. He's got a gunshot wound. He had that broken leg. It was a bad broken leg. He had this horrific injury.
Yeah.
You don't have to stack one more thing on top of it in terms of trauma.
I have so many questions. Like, if you're a tattoo person, especially if you're a tattoo artist, text in. So this anesthesia, like him put, he's this, they put him completely out. Are they doing this in the tattoo store? Or do they go somewhere that's maybe, I don't know, the tattoo stores that I drive by, Seth? I would be a little concerned about getting anesthetized in those places. Anesthetized at the hospital. It looks like a very sterile place, but I drive by driving down Westheimer and I see the tattoo parlors that are in their own little domiciles there. And I'm like,
This isn't like a, you know, it looks like a pretty fancy operation.
Okay.
It seems like a really nice dentist's office.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, how sterile is this? And do
they put you completely out, or are you, because that's the other thing, is being under is one thing, but being under for a long time is the other part of it. So are they just giving him laughing gas or something? I don't know.
I don't know. Text in. I need. Do you have any ink at all anywhere on your body?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
That's why I can't judge and say, like, oh, you're soft for not doing the whole day. Like, I don't know. It's got to suck,
I think I'm soft for just not having a tattoo at times, you know?
Yeah.
Like, especially because so many people haven't. Like, back in the day when you and I were growing up, the only people that had tattoos were bikers and guys in the Navy, you know?
They were illegal in a lot of places, right?
Were they really?
They started getting popular when they started being legal. You could go find a... Yeah, it used to be you had to go to certain areas to get a tattoo.
Yeah.
It wasn't... Kids, you'll notice, go back and watch NBA footage from the 80s. Very few tattoos out there. And if there was any, one guy might have one tattoo or something that said mom.
Yeah. I remember the quarterback of our football team, Tony Rice, back in the late 80s, got like a big tattoo on his arm. And that was huge news around campus. Like, oh my God, Tony Rice got a tattoo. Now the news would be like, oh my God, the quarterback doesn't even have a tattoo on his arm.
Let's see. In the past, some areas in the U.S., like New York City, had temporary bans on tattoos.
Okay.
So I guess it was a
not
more
anymore.
Of a local. Sounds like there were blue laws, kind of, but it wasn't. It just wasn't as common or popular.
Nothing's banned in New York City anymore, especially pot. Just walk through Times Square. Have you walked through Times Square at all in the last couple years since they legalized weed in New York?
Yeah. I know. It smells like a dispensary.
The whole place smells like a dispensary. The whole place, Times Square, the entire place smells like weed. Which is not a horrible smell, except when you can't turn it off, you know, like it's when you can't walk away from it. Like, all right, I don't mind a little secondhand smoke. You know, I'm not a weed smoker, but I don't mind a little secondhand smoke. I just don't like to hang out somewhere for hours on end where it smells like secondhand smoke. All right, we got a text and I'm like, okay, this person, come on now, but it's middle screen. Y'all have to ask Casario about the draft, especially the guys the Texans took. Thanks, middle screen. Thank you, middle screen. I appreciate that. Okay. Tank had multiple artists do that leg all at the same time, somebody said.
Oh, wow.
He hired a dream team of tattoo artists.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder if it took less time than a normal one. So maybe he wasn't. My concern was that he would be under for a long time.
Yeah.
But maybe it ended up not taking that long.
Maybe.
Relative to what you'd expect.
Maybe.
Because the way they do it, back in the old day when the only people that had full sleeves were Polynesians who had did it as part of an actual ritual.
Yes.
That's brutal when they do it the traditional way because they're doing it with shells, and it takes it's like they go into a trance because it's such a long and painful process.
And some of them have the tattoos that like start at the like right above your belly button and go down to your knees.
Yeah.
The first time I ever saw that was High Chief Peter Maivia. That's The Rock's grandfather. He was a wrestler. I'm like, okay, those can't be real. Like he's tattooed like his entire lower body. Is one gigantic ritualistic tattoo, like front
which
back.
You wouldn't you never saw that except on Polynesian
Samoan
dudes.
Polynesian so wrestlers.
Yeah.
Let's see.
What would you get, Sean?
On a tattoo?
Yeah. What would you get? I'm curious.
I would probably something WWE. I would imagine. Yeah, something WWE. I would. Guess.
I would get a rose on my ankle, and then I would get a dancing bear on my other ankle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A Grateful Dead bear, of course. Not a.
Yeah.
And then I get a styrofoam cup. Yeah.
I would get the old WWE logo somewhere on my body. That's what I would do. Old school WWE logo. The tattoo parlor had the anesthesia equipment on site because it used to be a Papa John's. Okay. Someone texted that in. That's right. Don't forget, Tank got shot. That's right. Tank could be on one of those.
I said that.
Oh, you did? I didn't. Okay, sorry. I was probably reading the text page. My apologies. Yeah.
So what do you? Oh, as far. Oh no, no, no. But I didn't make it as far as I didn't.
Like the YOLO part of it.
I just talked about the trauma that he's endured. But yeah, the YOLO part of it.
Yeah.
And the horror show. Yeah. This is. I don't know. Are we going to see
Dark Tank?
Are we going to see Darth? Darth Tank?
Darth Dell.
Yeah. He's going to come back and he's just going to be a completely different dude. Never smiling or anything.
Yeah.
Just out for blood.
Yeah.
I like this. The horror movie theme of it is intriguing.
Yeah.
And interesting.
You, from now on, shall be known as Darth Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
Darth Hands. Something. I need something. What would Tank's Sith name be? Yeah.
I wonder if CJ was sitting in the waiting room knitting to try to calm his nerves and trying to choke back the tears and just happy when he saw Tank came out from recovery.
Waited for
the doctor slash tattoo artist came out and said, Mr.
Pulls the rubber gloves off. It's like,
It was a successful tattoo. And then CJ breaks down on the floor.
Tears of joy.
Thank you. Yes.
Tears of joy. All right. The other thing.
Just call me Tank when you get home and let me know you're okay.
Let me know you're okay. The talk yesterday of a new headquarters for the Texans. That was the last big topic at the golf tournament yesterday. That they could, and if I had to bet, they will be moving their headquarters at some point. I don't base that on any information other than this sounds like an idea that that has a lot of positives to it.
Yeah.
That the team is viewing as something that could be really good for the city if they build some sort of entertainment district around it, wherever it may. If it lands in Katy, if it lands up in the, you know, up north, or maybe it lands somewhere in Harris County, who knows. But the Texans are thinking strongly about moving their practice facility and their business offices off-site. And if you're wondering, like, wow, that'd be a big change, they're one of four teams in the NFL that has their operations inside their home stadium right now. The norm in the NFL, by far, is to conduct your business and practice off-site somewhere from your stadium.
Yeah, I feel like that's a little bit misleading because there are some teams that have their practice facility right next to the stadium. But the difference is that everything's all in one spot. The weird thing about the Texans setup and where it makes it inefficient both from a front office and from the actual football operation side of things is that, you know, there are a lot of facilities where the training room, the locker room, the weight room are all in this one spot. And then you have the practice fields right outside the doors of all of that. So when the trainers are working with somebody, they can work on the training room stuff, then go out and maybe take a look at him out on the field, and all of that. Like with the Texans, it's kind of an ordeal to just get from the training room over to the practice field.
Because
the large majority of the time, there's something going on, and it's not just the rodeo, it's all the different events that come in, or in just prepping for the next event. It's there's concrete out there on the actual playing field for game day, the stadium field. So it's just really inefficient when you're trying to make things as efficient as possible. It's kind of a pain in the butt. You know, it's rich folks' problem. You know, I mean, it's not like it's the worst thing in the world, but you're comparing it to other situations where people can kind of just have a more efficient operation. From a player side of thing, I would prefer to have everything all right there where you're done with practice. It's not a 5-minute walk back to the stadium. You just get in the cold tank. And then if you have to go and do anything extra, all of that, it's kind of clunky the way it's set up right now.
Well, and I think the biggest thing you bring up is just that it's not that stadium, that whole thing is not theirs. You know, like they share it with so many people and so many entities, whether it's dates that, you know, whether it's even just graduations. The rodeo, the rodeo's not there at a time of year, running at a time of year where there's heavy Texans practices going on, but it is at a time of year where the staff is trying to get in there to work on the draft, and there are players that are coming into the building, and it's just, you're right, it's first world problems, but it's problems that most NFL teams don't have to deal with.
Well, right, it's a first world problem, but you're competing against other teams that have first world problems too, so you're it's kind of like, does a NASCAR driver worry way, way more about his fuel injectors than the average person? Yes, they do, because they're competing against other people that have better fuel injectors. From my extensive knowledge and understanding of the motorsports.
Of fuel injectors. Dolly Parton, Colin. Dolly Parton. That's what my tattoo would be. Dolly Parton. My favorite individual on the face of the earth. Maybe not a face, her face, but maybe her birthday or something like that.
Her birthday. Yeah.
Some tribute to Dolly Parton. Yes.
Personally, I'd like to have something meaningful about family members that I care about.
I'd put Amy on the other leg, but you know, I'd have a slide of a sleeve on one leg of Dolly Parton and a sleeve of Amy on the other leg. But yes.
I kind of like, I think I do, I wouldn't mind going full Memento, like the movie Memento, where as I get older, I just kind of have little reminders on my body.
Yeah.
So I'll put them everything from the perspective where I can read it.
Dude.
And just simple stuff, like remember to poop today, stuff like that.
Okay.
You know, but I'll have it in Latin. Badass.
Those aren't mementos. Those are reminders.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, the movie Memento.
Oh, the movie
he has
Memento.
A bunch of the movie Memento.
I got you.
Oh yeah.
I haven't
it's
seen
this
Memento.
Guy who just has he has amnesia, like ongoing. He has no short. He has
got
no long term memory at all. So he writes all these notes that are supposed to be reminders to himself.
Dude, if it was true mementos, like reminders of different stages and events in your life, you would have one of the more interesting set of body tattoos. You got a lot of good stories. From
I do.
Your years, yeah.
I like, but I'm trying to forget.
You'd
those
be one of
the
more interesting
part.
People. I go take your clothes off so I can read about your life.
A picture of Blobby the Rooster.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what.
Picture you nervously on the phone telling people it's a corporation. Yeah.
Picture of me giving. God, that was a story I didn't tell the other day. I can't remember. It was for one of the questions of the day, but it was my dad. When I was 16 or 17 years old, he had a car that didn't have license plates. So he said, "Hey, son, let me just," he called me Seth, actually, he didn't say son. I just need to borrow your license plates for a couple days. So I was like, "Okay, dad." And my dad drove to New York City. Fell asleep because he liked to go like 72 hours at a time with no sleep.
Oh,
that was
God.
His thing. He got to New York City where he had an apartment. He crashed and forgot, you know, didn't wake up in time to move his car with my plates illegally on it to the other side of the street. So his car got towed. But he didn't have the money to go get it out. And thank God this was before they had everything in online databases and everything.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting there trying to figure out, like, what do I – like,
okay –
I can't dime out my dad, but I can't say that I gave him the plates. I didn't even know it was illegal. You know, I was like 16 or 17 years old. I'd bought my Mazda GLC with the money I got working
That's
for $500
funny.
With the money I got working in summers. But I couldn't, then I didn't, it was 2 months before I got my plates back. And somehow, I don't know how he got out of it or whatever. I guess it was just the towing company had it. I don't know, man.
Holy cow. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
So I'll have the old Mazda GLC license plates on there.
Yeah, that's
point.
What I'm saying. Yeah, there's a story behind all. Seth, tell me about those license plates on the back of your calf. Yeah, man. All right, so we'll see what happens with the Texans and a new headquarters. I got one of the funniest tweets I got yesterday was after, or it might have been right after the game was over. There was a listener, Seth, who was so agitated that right after the Rockets game was over on Sunday, that one of the first things that popped up, I think it popped up on their Twitter timeline. I don't know if it popped up on TV, but Jalen Green has a Wingstop commercial going on right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw a lot of the Wingstop hate going on.
Yeah, like he has a Wingstop commercial where he's like, he's walking out of the stadium and it's like a paparazzi thing. The flashes are going off and then he gets in the back of a limo. Because I guess every player leaves the stadium now in the back of a limo, sarcastic.
Yeah.
And he just starts eating some Wingstop, like slow motion. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you gotta save some for yourself, you know. And he's eating chicken strips. And boy, this listener was so agitated. They're like, why are they showing a commercial of him after he scored 8 points? I'm like, I didn't want to explain to him how traffic works on a broadcast. Like, it's already slotted, sir.
You know who's got to feel like that or did all year long was every time. Remember both Titans games? There were so many Will Levis mayonnaise commercials.
Oh, yeah.
And Titans fans have got it. They were seeing those all year long. Will Levis doing that, the full Jean-Claude Van Damme split with the mayo commercial.
Do you get agitated during, like right now, the Astros are terrible hitting the baseball. All of them. All of them are bad. Some are worse than others, but they're all below the standards of what they normally are. Like Altuve is not abjectly terrible, but by Altuve standards, he's in a major slump right now. And when an HEB commercial pops up, you know, an HEB, you know, people would get so pissed that Lance McCullers being in HEB commercials when he's rehabbing his, you know, second arm surgery and whatnot.
That's where I know every time I see one, I'm like, that's it. No, Central
you get
Market.
I do too.
I will know. But then their produce department lures me back in.
Yeah.
I need some seedless grapes. And I'm like, oh, I got to go. Nobody does it like Central Market.
These HEB commercials that pop up during Astro games when they're doing, but they're losing 8-1, and then they're losing 8-1. You're angry. They just committed 3 errors. They're going to lose their 4th in a row, and then this pops up.
Make me snacks for the ball game.
Make me a HEB snacks.
Buy me some brisket and queso too. Oh, and get enough for the whole crew.
Let me flip all these burgers.
And poppers grilled by the flame.
All right, they're not going to get a whole commercial out of us, all right? Give us some live reads, HEB, and we'll play the whole thing. Dude, it's in major rotation right now. And I'm still getting used to Mauricio Dubon being in HEB commercials, or any commercial at all, really. But Mauricio Dubon, like, Jeremy Pena is just going with the flow and singing in his normal voice. Altuve gets a little bit pitchy at the end of his first line. But boy, Mauricio Dubon opens up his mouth holding some brisket and queso, and, like, honey is dripping off of his lips.
Buy me some brisket and queso, too.
I mean, that's not bad. Buy me some brisket and cake. I feel like he's really trying to get to a place right there. Mauricio.
No, he's very, very likable. He's a hard man to hate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No matter what no matter what's going on. I guess my viewing experience where I kind of I let the Astros filter their current performance at the plate filter into it is when I'm watching The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, these lucky bastards. None of these people have to watch the Astros at the plate.
It's just bad.
Boy, I'll tell you what. Oh, I'd give anything to be a handmaid right now. Yeah.
I'm just getting a bad mood.
I'd rather go through all of this than watch the Astros try to hit a baseball.
Give me some more Dubon, please. Please.
Buy me some brisket and queso, too.
Thank you. I need that. Just keep that handy all show long, Colin. I just need a little. It's a B12 shot for me right there. I don't like it.
One more. No.
One more.
Buy me some brisket and queso, too.
Sorry, Seth. Yeah, sorry. I needed one more. I apologize.
That's my least favorite HEB commercial of all time.
Really?
I can't do it. That song. I cannot take that song.
Buy me some brisket and
queso,
too.
I didn't do that. Colin did that.
It's not even them just singing.
Don't do that.
It's just take me out to the ballpark. Yeah. I hate that song so much. I like it when it's played in an organ at the ballpark. And that's it. But the problem is that song has been there's so many parodies out of that song with different lyrics and everything that it just brings back every schmaltzy hacking attempt at comedy or whatever else it is over the times. Plus, it's been used in some kind of... I feel like it's been in some movies sometimes where some horrible things happen too. They try to they do the contrast of like a happy song in the background. Well, meanwhile somebody's getting
there's about to be some terrorist attack at a baseball stadium or something like that. The contrast. I can't promise I won't play Dubon again, Seth. I just want you to know that, but I won't do it now. I'm good. I'm good for now.
Who wrote that song?
I don't know.
I think it was Benjamin Franklin.
One thing I know, Seth won't be
close.
Getting...
It was Albert von Tiltzer. It was.
Called Tiltsy by his friends. Yeah. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Appreciate you tuning in. All right. There is one major voice out there in the NBA community that makes a huge suggestion for the Houston Rockets this offseason. We will have that for you coming up next.